Okay, we've been thinking of Jonah, so I'm just going to read in Jonah in the Old Testament, just a wee verse or two quickly for us. And I see the big whales up there, which is nice. Jonah, I've got just a couple of verses, because I know you guys all know this story really, really well, but I've been going through it in my quiet time, and again since Egypt, and there's some really very astonishing things. But let's just start at the beginning, the first chapter, verse 1. It says, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, go to the great city of Nineveh, preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah ran away from the Lord. Okay, let's go down chapter 2. Let's go down to verse 8. Jonah is inside the fish. The storm has come. He's responsible. The sailors try and pray to their idols to calm the sea, but nothing happens when they discover it's Jonah's fault, because he worships the God who made the sea and the land. Then Jonah admits that he's responsible for the storm, and they say, "What shall we do?" And he says, "Throw me into the sea." Of course, he didn't know that there was going to be a fish to swallow him, that had to save him, as it were. But Jonah was just giving his life. He knew that he was responsible for the lives of all these others. But Jonah prays. He prays to the Lord inside the fish, and we're going to break in at verse 8. I think this is a tremendous verse that has gripped me for the last couple of weeks. It's, "Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs." I don't know if you've ever noticed that little verse. It's, although I'd read it many times before, it just seemed to hit home just the last couple of weeks. And I've been meditating on it, writing it down, thinking about it a lot, analyzing it for myself. "Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs." We're going to come back to that little verse, but let's just go on to the end of chapter 4. And Jonah's angry, of course, about the vine being destroyed, and he's not happy because Nineveh has been spared, because the people repented. You'd have thought Jonah is actually the most successful preacher in the Bible, because a whole city repented at his preaching. I think if the whole of Glasgow repented at my preaching, I would be ecstatic. But Jonah just moaned and groaned because he didn't want that to happen. And Jonah is saying here, "And the Lord said," verse 10 in chapter 4, "But the Lord said, you've been concerned about this vine, though you didn't tend it or make it grow." It's interesting about a vine. I saw some very nice carrots there earlier in the service, but here we have a vine that God tended, made it grow, and then he caused a worm to destroy it. "It sprang up overnight, it died overnight, but Nineveh has more than 120,000 people that don't know their right hand from their left." I usually reckon that those are the children. And he says, "And many cattle, many animals as well." So we see God's concerned about the people, the children, the animals. And God says, "Should I not be concerned about that great city, that great city?" Now, we're going to be looking at the wee PowerPoint here, and hopefully it'll come up. Right. Okay, there's my little verse again. And Trixie the wee mermaid. "Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs." That great city. This is another great modern city. This is the city of Cairo. And Trixie and I have been, this great city has been laid on our hearts over this last couple of years by the Lord. And if you have read Look in the Fields and you've watched the news, you will know that there is an awful lot of trouble in Cairo. And it's hard to think of a great city in the world today that hasn't got problems. But this great city, of course, has been in upheaval recently through political upheaval and infighting, civil war and whatnot. And we've been concerned because of visiting Egypt. We've been concerned about this great city. And so what we've been doing this past year is we've been taking toys for the children of Cairo. Now we pack our suitcases and get them weighed at the airport, and the lady at the check-in, she said, are you emigrating to Egypt? You've got that much stuff. But she didn't know that our cases didn't have clothes, but they had toys, you know. Our cases were full of toys, and this is at the other end. And the man came in to do the room, and he said, what are all these toys? Have you got children? We said, no. He said, what are all these toys for? And we said, they're for you and for the children, for you guys and for your children. And he was absolutely amazed and overwhelmed because these men, they work down in Sharm, which is many miles away from the Troubles. But they live, their families are all in Cairo, that great city. And they have to leave them behind and travel several hundred miles to work down in Sharm. And they don't see their families for weeks until they get leave. So we were able to distribute the toys, and some of them may have even been contributed by yourselves, because we have the Christmas appeal. You help us with that. And it's given out, of course, around our own area of Motherwell. But the toys, the surplus toys, and now we have a ministry to take them to Egypt so that the children of Cairo and the dads are phoning their children and saying, we've got toys for you. These nice people from Scotland have brought you toys. And all the kids, hundreds of miles away, saying, Dad, can you not come home tonight? We want the toys. And the little kids in Cairo, something to cheer them up, make their day brighter when they know that there's toys. And their dads say, well, we'll bring you the toys, but it'll be a couple of weeks. It'll be a couple of weeks away yet. And that's a wee bit sad. But all these toys, we didn't take any toys home to Scotland. They were all given out, and they all went to the children of Cairo, because all the men live in Cairo, though they work in the resort where we stay. And so in the place where we stay, there are 1,500 men work. So we've got quite a mission field there. Sadly, there are only five Egyptian women working there. And we're trying to redress that balance. Please employ more Egyptian women, but because of the culture and that, it's the men that get the jobs. You're lucky ladies that you are living in Scotland, where you get equal rights and that. But they're very appreciative, you know, and the toys have gone, and money gifts from the Lord's people have gone as well. For the people. There you can see the little map and where Cairo is and where Sharm el-Sheikh is, where we were. So there's quite a distance. We were quite away from the trouble. We didn't see any trouble, just checkpoints. When you go to the bank, there's a guy with a gun at the door. But apart from that, we didn't see any trouble at all. And these little children, that they don't get a lot, but they would get our little gifts, and we're blessing them, and we're asking God's people to continue to support us so that we can bless the children of Cairo in 2014 as we go again in the will of the Lord. This Strixie, of course, on the land, we're giving out the gifts to the children. On the sea, Trixie's able to witness. This is Roger. He's a Welshman, actually, and he's her instructor. He's not a Christian, but he has let on to Trixie that he has a Baptist background. And so we're praying very much for Roger. Trixie's always the only one. There are divers on the boat from all nationalities, and Trixie is always the only Christian. And so she has got a great opportunity, and they love her to pieces, as you can imagine. And she's got a great opportunity. She gives her little gifts out on the sea as well as on the land. This is Elena. She is one of the few, she's not Egyptian, but she's one of the few women staff. We've adopted her as a wee daughter, but she is from Romania, and she is customer relations, and we love her to pieces, and she's on our Facebook now, and she's just been to Romania to see her dad, and she's got back now in the resort, and we're looking forward to seeing her and bringing her some wee gifts from Scotland as well. She speaks about 6 or 7 languages and puts us to shame as she's telling off the Russian tourists, you know, in their own language. It is just quite amazing. We said that God loves all the animals, and here's a little hawk. He was always around. A little kitten that was playing at the security gates and gave us a little... This little dog, he just was hobbling about on the main roads all the time. It was quite scary, and one of the days we saw that he was just walking on 3 legs. And she found Nemo as well. And these little creatures, they look really nice, but they are very aggressive, you know, and the divers all say they'd rather meet a shark than a clownfish, because these little guys come out and they really bite you sore, you know. So, but fortunately, this little guy, he was behaving himself. So there you go. This is Lily. She's a baby camel, and we take her bottles of water. You have to be careful when you take her a bottle of water, because it can't be too cold, you know. We took one to her out of the fridge, and she wouldn't drink it. You know, it was too cold. You know, so we have to take a warmish bottle of water for Lily to drink. And she's one of the little creatures that we love. This is an amazing creature, and this one has really touched me, because this is actually a starfish, and there he is. He's feeding on the coral, and this is an amazing picture. And I thought, look at the spines. Look at the spikes on him. Absolutely amazing, you know, and the protection, you know, and that God has made all these amazing creatures, you know, and there they are. They're under the sea, and you wouldn't know that they're there. And look at the colors, and look at the protection. And it made me think, you know, when God made the very first thorn, you know, whether it was on the back of a creature or in a thorn bush, I don't know the first thorn that he made, but I wonder if he ever thought, you know, that one day those thorns would be taken and pierced on his brow. He did, of course, because he was crucified, you know, before the foundation of the world, the Bible says, and he knew that those thorns would pierce him. His love, you know, the creator of everything, you know, and he knew too that when he made the first tree, that one day he would be nailed to a tree, you know. And when he put into the ground that very first vein of iron ore, he knew that that iron could be taken and made into a nail or a spearhead that would pierce him. And when he formed the hills, he knew that one day he would be lifted up to die on a hill outside the city of Jerusalem. My lovely Lord, my lovely, lovely Savior. I love him today because he loved me. And he bore not just the thorns, not just the nails, but he bore the death that I should have died. He died for me. Jesus died for me. I never get tired of telling that story to the folks. Jesus died for me, and that's why I love him today. This was along on the jetty, and I found this wee lock, and it's a wee heart. And I thought, Lord, your love for me is just so eternal. You brought us away to Egypt, and you've given Trixie a chance to go out in the boats, and you've enabled us to meet all these lovely people. And your love, Lord, your love is wonderful, and it will never, ever fade away, you know. He's the same yesterday, today, forever, and Jesus loves me. Okay, so we're back to Motherwell now, and we're back, and our wee Jesus car is still going round. And I was just thinking, I got a wee email. I'll read you this wee email. I got a wee email just yesterday, and it was from a wee guy that is on my Facebook. And here it is. I've got it typed out. And he said, "Ray, just a quick question for you. Is believing in the Lord enough for him to welcome you to heaven? Is believing in the Lord enough for him to welcome you to heaven. And I thought about this and I prayed about it. How am I going to answer him? Is believing in the Lord enough for him to welcome you into heaven? And this is what I wrote. I don't know what you'd have written. This is what I wrote. It depends on what you mean by believe. Like, I believed for years Trixie was the woman for my life, but she only became mine when I made a marriage commitment. I have to ask, have you made an open commitment to Jesus Christ? Is he in control of all you say and do? Does everyone know you're a Christian at home, at work, and in your community? Do you stand up for him here on Facebook? I've not looked at your wall to see if you do. And then he replies back, no, I wouldn't say I'm a Christian. I didn't know believing in God meant I had to have any religion at all. So then I wrote back, as long as you know, you're not going to heaven then, buddy. Love's warning. God bless. And he wrote, I disagree with that, but thanks anyway. And then, because I know he's a fanatic for cars, you know, and he builds his own custom cars. And I thought, believe the Lord gave me this little thought as I wrote back to him. And I said, shame. You've chosen to drive a Fiat Panda when you could have had a Lamborghini. No offense if you've got a Fiat Panda. I'm sure they're great little cars. But you know, you get the point. Isn't it sad that my friend has chosen to drive a little Fiat Panda, a little life, and it's going to be all finished and shut out of heaven forever at the end, when he could have been driving a Lamborghini, you know, a Lamborghini. All that Jesus has for him, you know. Wow. It couldn't be mentioned, you know. And all that he is going to miss, not just in this life, but in the life to come. You see, Jonah was inside the fish, and he prayed, and he had this little thought. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. There's so many people missing out on so much because they're clinging to some wee worthless idol. I don't know what yours is. I know the things that pull at me. They're worthless idols. You know, people are driving around in their little Fiat Panda when they could have a Lamborghini. Jesus has the keys of the Lamborghini to give you today. But you're saying, no, I'll stick with what I know. I'll stick with my wee Fiat Panda. I know that little panda, you know. And I love that little panda. I don't want to give up that little panda. You know, I'm going to stay small. I don't want this big stuff. That's scary, you know. There's a big world out there, and a big universe, and a big eternity. And people are just staying small. They're living in the little closet, you know, when there's a big mansion to be lived in, you know. They're living in the cupboard, you know. We've got a friend, Trixie was talking to him last night, and he was talking about him back in the day when he was a little boy, and he said, when I was a little baby, I slept in the drawer. Didn't have a bed, didn't have a big room. All he had was a drawer. His mum put him in the drawer. That was his bed, you know. And that's what we're like. We're sleeping in the drawer when we could have the palace, you know. That's what it's like. We're forfeiting the grace that could be ours for some little measly idol, you know. And it is so, so sad. Idols, the sailors said they're idols. Did they help them in the storm? No. The Ninevites said they're idols, and they actually turned from them. They were like the Thessalonians who turned to God from idols to serve the living and through God and wait for his son from heaven. That's 1 Thessalonians and chapter 1. The Ninevites gave up their evil ways. and their violence from the king right down. Jonah, he's a mixture. Jonah's a mixture, his own way, his temper. Some of us are a mixture, you know. Wanting our own way and not God's way, you know. I can be like that too, you know. My way. I did it my way. Hell is full of people who did it their way. Forfeit. I was thinking of that little word, forfeit, you know. Forfeit. You know, I was checking the Scottish ones because that's nearer to home. I was checking the lottery. I don't do the lottery, but I wanted to check the number of people that forfeit the lottery. Can you imagine? There's millions of pounds. There's 12 million sitting there waiting for somebody in Birmingham to claim it, you know. 12 million. And they're forfeiting it, you know. It says, I was reading it, the fine print, that says, if you don't claim within 180 days, you forfeit it and it goes to good causes. And I thought, wow, forfeiting it. Here's one, Euro Millions, Edinburgh, £274,601.30. If that is not claimed by the 10th of November, it is forfeited. Somebody in Edinburgh is going to forfeit $250,000. Somebody in Fife, the Euro Millions, Fife, £1,000,000. Somebody in Fife has not claimed. And if it's not claimed by the 19th of January 2014, it is forfeited. Goes to good causes. Oh, well, the good causes will benefit. Somebody in East Dumbartonshire, didn't say Paisley, by the way. somebody in East Dumbartonshire will forfeit £1,000,000 on the 22nd of January if they don't claim it. And not only that, there are billions. Reading this on the BBC, so it must be true. The BBC report says that there are billions in benefits unclaimed. Billions. Listen to this. 2 billion unclaimed in income support. 2.8 billion pension credit. That's the one that tops up your pension. 2.8 billion. This is not million. It is billion, an extra zero on the millions. Unclaimed pension credit. 3.1 billion unclaimed in housing benefit. 3.2 billion unclaimed in council tax benefit. And 1.95 billion unclaimed Job Seekers Alliance. Whew. Billions of pounds in benefits is forfeited. Forfeited. People are not claiming what they could have. Now, it's only money. But look what people are losing out on with God. You know? The peace, the joy, the power for living, the strength to get you through. Your health, body, mind, and soul all suffers when you're away from God. We are designed by Him. We need to be linked with Him. To live life with a capital L. To be free. To be satisfied. People are turning to drugs, to drink. Many years I turned to drink myself. It didn't satisfy. It was a worthless idol. And I was forfeiting the grace. Thank God one day I got the amazing grace. I got that amazing grace. And it saved me. A life well lived. I can look back on 33 years well lived in my community. If I hadn't got the grace, it would probably have been a few months and then a drunkard's grave. A life well, I can look back on a life well lived. Not a perfect life, no, no. There have been the struggles, the sins, the idols that have come in. And a life that benefits other people. Thank God I've not lived a selfish life. Keep praying for Motherwell. Here's some of the guys. You know, We are very privileged that our young folks, and none of them are Christians, here they are, they're in the park, and they're drinking. But you know what they do? They text us and they say, Ray, will you come down? You and Trixie, come down and see us in the park. And that is a real privilege, just to see them. And this guy with his hand up, he's the guy. He came to the door and he said, Ray, we want you down to the park. And that's a real privilege. I count it a privilege. And Trixie does too, just to serve these young people. And they're absolutely lovely and they're brilliant. Here's Trixie with some of the girls. And they get disappointed. They text us and they say, can you come tonight? And we say, well, we've got something else on. They wanted us last night, but we had a dinner in the church. And they get disappointed when we can't come. And they love us to pieces, you know. And these guys, they're not Christians. And they're drinking. But they love us. They love us to pieces. And God has given us a big door there. And it is absolutely just fantastic. So just keep praying for our reach out in the dark and in the light. And here are all these lovely wee ones, and they were all pleased to see their picture up on Facebook because they're all looking at the camera. And it's a real privilege, and many of their mothers were in our groups as kids themselves, and so that's why they love us to pieces. And it's a real privilege just serving our wee community. So keep on praying for us as we serve them. This is just last week. This is Cheryl, one of our little girls who got married just last week. And just a wee quick story. Just a few months ago, I was asked to bury her cousin, who sadly she died at age 36 of alcohol poisoning. And we were talking there about forfeiting the grace. Laura, her name was, she had heard me preach hundreds of times and had been in many camps with us and that as a girl, and sadly we were asked to take the funeral. It was very hard to do, very, very sad. But her mum had phoned us and said, will you take it, Ray, because we don't want to get a priest or a minister that doesn't know her, because she wasn't religious, but you knew her. And so we took the funeral, and Cheryl was saying, I wish Laura had given up the drink long enough so she could be at my wedding, but sadly she wasn't. And so we're glad of the opportunity just to serve the Lord in our wee community. Here's a lovely dawn over Motherwell, and here's a lovely evening over Motherwell. I'm just going to leave it there. I'll leave this lovely, lovely text with you. The wonderful love of Jesus for Motherwell, for Cairo, for Paisley, for you and for me, you know. Don't forfeit the grace, you know. Don't stick with your little Fiat Panda, you know, when you could have the Lamborghini from Jesus. You know, there's something wonderful. You can have life with capital L. You can have eternal life. You can know for sure that you're going to heaven. You don't need to let the idols take you down. And Jesus said, I love you this much. And he gave everything so you may live. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for the attention given to your word. We thank you for your people here and all their prayers for us and support for us over many years. We ask for the children and the young people. We ask for every home represented here and in the little rooms around us. Just ask that your blessing will come to Bethany Evangelical Church, and that your blessing will come to Paisley. We long, Lord, to hear of people, young and old, putting their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. Just ask that you continue to bless us here. And if there's anyone struggling today with some idol and forfeiting what they could have, that they'll turn in repentance to you and give you everything today. As we ask these things, giving thanks in the Lord Jesus' name.